Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside my buddy Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Ezra Ginsberg away from the program this evening. We presume he's missing and hungry. I'm not 100% sure where he is, but that's okay. You know,
we love our Ezra. I actually just presume he's watching, to be honest with you.
That's true. You got actually everybody that's in the chat, and there's so many of you there already. Let us know when Ezzy shows up, because that's really what we want to know. At some point in time, I think I'll bet dollars to donuts that Ezzy will somehow pop into the chat at some point in the next, however long we're on for, 40 minutes, hour, somewhere in that vicinity. In any event, Dave, good to see you on this Wednesday evening. You're repping the Minnesota Golden Gophers tonight, I see, bringing that's out a true. New hat from your collection I guess haberdashery, if you will.
It's true, but I do
have a good word. Haberdashery.
It is a good word. I might have to go get to buy some new hats though, because most of my other hats are hockey hats. I don't really want to wear hockey hats because I don't like to support any specific team. So I will, as he's skipping the dishes. Well, he's made the dishes dirty. We know that. We don't know if he's skipping them. So we'll see if I can bring some new hats to the fold.
Exactly. You don't want to have anyone question your allegiances or anything like that. Anyways, Dave, Winnipeg Jets, they end up winning tonight's contest by a 3-2 margin. You know, 3-1 up until the last 10 seconds of the game, where the Senators on that two-man advantage, I think, put a little bit of a lump into everybody's throat, if I'm being perfectly honest. It's like, okay, you know, this Senators team never gives up, and this Jets team has been a little sloppy for the last minute or so, didn't end up costing the Jets anything. A clean 2 points. Wasn't the prettiest game. Wasn't the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals, but at any event, it's 2 points in the standings for the Winnipeg Jets, and they'll gladly walk away with the victory.
And you know, Drew, it's what we've talked about throughout the course of the season with this Winnipeg Jets team. You have a stinker and you come back and get the 2 points again. Yeah. They're not always Picassos. They're not always the most, you know, fantastic of victories, but at the end of the day, you walk away with 2 points, you bank them. And you're feeling good about yourselves because you've got the win, and it's a clean win. And that's what the Jets have wanted to do for a while. And now you've got a big game coming up. And we're not going to suggest that they were looking past this game at Toronto tomorrow night, because obviously based on how they played last game, they couldn't afford to do that, especially against an Ottawa team that really young, inexperienced, but very talented. So you've got to be very careful against them. You couldn't really afford to do that. But again, what it does is it sets you up now for a very, again, not a monumental game. It's not anything that's going to define your season. But at the end of the day, you know, you're 5 points back of first place and you've set yourself up knowing that you're playing, you know, you've got a game against the Oilers, and then you have three more against Toronto. So you got four of your next five games against the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is setting itself up for a little playoff series. I don't know what the Leafs do in between the game tomorrow and the game next week in Winnipeg. I don't know what their schedule looks like. But the point is, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you're in a position. I mean, again, it's not easy to gain ground because of all these 4-point games, but when you're playing Toronto four or five times, you know, you could be the first place team if you play your cards right. So again, there's a long way to go before from here to there, but you've positioned yourself well with this win.
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. And so you take, you know, you obviously are not happy about the performance on Monday. And so tonight's performance was better. It wasn't anything that I would write home about, to your point there, Dave. But the third period, you have to win the period. So after 40 minutes, it's tied up at one goal apiece, just like it was on Monday. Remember, after 40 minutes, it was tied up, if I'm not mistaken, at two goals apiece. The Jets won the third period. Matthew Perreault gets it done on the power play. Great special teams, check mark. Trevor Lewis gets it done shorthanded. Another check mark. So, you know, it took a full effort. You saw the line blender out from Jets head coach Paul Maurice in that third period, because really that second period was as lousy a period of hockey as both teams have played this year. There was nothing about that second period that was attractive or pretty or anything that you would want to carry over. So what does Paul Maurice does? He, you know, changes things up to try and get a little bit more energy, I think, into the team, maybe get them to be awake a little bit more. And at the very end, they end up with the 2 points, which is really what matters the most in tonight's contest.
Yeah, and you know, get Lauren Brossoit back in action. I mean, he hadn't played in so long. Connor Hellebuck, I think, played what, 7 games in a row. So you needed to get Lauren Brossoit playing, and we know he would have played one of those Canucks games that were rescheduled. But at the end of the day, he hadn't played in a long time. So you get him going. Didn't look good early, of course, because Ottawa got that quick goal by Nick Paul. But at the end of the day, he looks good and doesn't let up another goal until late in that third period. I thought it was actually a little disconcerting for Lauren Brossoit because he got that big hit. I think it was in the second period, was it Norris who was charging hard at the, I don't think it was Norris, but it was someone was coming in hard and hit him. And, you know, that's one of those plays that can cause your goalie to have a concussion, you know, if you're unlucky. And it looked like he fought it off and he was okay. But at the end of the day, I think big win for Lauren Brossoit because, you know, again, he's coming off a game he'd probably rather have back. And now he feels better about his game and feels good, you know, having been back in the net and getting that good feeling again.
Yeah, absolutely right. And so the Jets now will head into Toronto to play the Leafs tomorrow night in a game that should be at least feature, you know, it should be a more entertaining game simply because there's more talent on both sides of the ice. And that's, you know, not to take anything away from Ottawa, but we know where their strengths are and where they're lacking. And the Jets and the Leafs right now are 1-2 in the North Division. So you would think that, you know, if you're going to, that should lead to a better effort. That should lead to, you know, a little more focused than I think we've seen tonight, and certainly more focused than we saw on Monday night. And remember, you know, after tonight's game, so now that we're done with the Senators, the Jets are done with the Senators, you know, they have Toronto and Edmonton for the next 7 games. It's obviously not going to matter in terms of getting into the playoffs, but if you wanted to make a statement or if you wanted to sort of test your game out and your level out against, you know, better competition or the competition you're going to be facing come playoff time, well, that's what you got for the next 7 games. This last little stretch of the Jets season has been, I'm going to say, a bit of a dull one. You've had the Senators 3 times. You've had a struggling Montreal Canadiens team. You know, I think you had the Flames before that, if I recall correctly, or maybe you had a couple games against the Leafs. It's all blending together at this point. But the next 7 games are all against playoff teams, which should hopefully make things a little bit more interesting than what we've experienced so far this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't get up for these games, and again, they're not going to define your season in the sense that you're making the playoffs. We've already gone through this. We've talked about it now. I think, as he said, it feels like it's been weeks now. It feels like a foregone conclusion. Really, the only team that has that question mark is the Montreal Canadiens, and we feel like they're still probably going to be a playoff team. But
they lost. Calgary, you know, Calgary beat them tonight handily. So
that's why I said
they got a lot of games in hand still.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know. So that's what I'm saying. So they're my one team that, and that's what we've said. They're the one team that is not 100%, but the other three are guaranteed in my mind. And it would take a monumental collapse, which I just don't think you're going to see for either one of those three, any one of those three teams, sorry, to fall out of a playoff spot. But again, at the same time, you still need to have a good showing. You can't just like go 0-7 and be like, well, it doesn't really matter. It's just regular season. No. And Paul Maurice has talked about it. Paul Maurice has talked about this idea that, you know, he wants to test things out, right? He talked about D pairs. I mean, it's an interesting sort of way of looking at it because he's talking about, you know, in one press conference, he talked about this idea of getting to the lines that he wanted to roll with after that Edmonton game, which is on Saturday night. So come playoff time, he wanted to kind of get him. But then today he was talking about his D pairs and that idea of changing things up and getting guys playing with different players and potentially, you know, seeing guys like Ville Heinola get into the lineup and, you know, maybe Jordy Benn. So obviously when he joins the team, he joins them on Friday. I suspect he wouldn't obviously be playing on Saturday, but my guess is that, you know, you could see him against the Leafs the following week. The point I'm making is, so I think that it's 2 separate situations for Paul Maurice. On one hand, he wants his forward pairs to kind of now start to get that chemistry, that consistency playing together to start against that Toronto series. At least that's what he said. That's the way I interpreted his words. The D pairs, though, on the other hand, it's going to be a little bit of a different situation because he's not going to be as, you know, the truth is he's had them pretty consistently anyways, right? Like he's really allowed DeMelo to play with Stanley. He's had Forbert and Pionk the whole season, basically. And Pullman and Morrissey a little bit last year and this year now. So he's already got he already knows what he's got with these guys. He can afford to play around. He can afford to put a Hainol in somewhere on that left side. He can put a Ben in on a, you know, I'm going to make that mistake a lot. Although I called him Joyride Ben when I wrote the post for LegalCurve.com. So who knows? But, you know, I think when he can play either side, right? So you'll maybe get him in to see what he can do and what sort of his veteran leadership. Josh Morrissey talked about it today. You know, he's got over 500 games played in the NHL. So to me, that's it'll be very interesting because whereas we normally think a team wants everybody functioning and everybody rolling and everybody kind of working towards it, because, you know, Paul Stastny talked about it, you can't just turn it on and off. You can't just say, okay, well, now is a playoff, you know, playoffs are in two games, we've got to get going. But it's interesting to me because from a forward perspective, that appears to be what he's working towards in that first Toronto game. Is that on Thursday or Wednesday? Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. They have the Edmonton game, then they have 3 days, and then the Leafs. So you've got that Toronto game on Wednesday, a week tonight. That to me is when you should expect, obviously, if everybody's healthy, which is the big question mark. But if everybody's healthy, that would be when you see the Jets forward lines, in my mind, based on what Paul Maurice has said, looking the way he wants them to look for a stretch. And then the D pairs, again, will be a little bit different. Would be my estimation. That's what I think you can expect to see.
Yeah, you know, it's and you saw him juggle the forward lines tonight for that third period. So it'll be interesting to see how he decides to start them come tomorrow night in Toronto. It'll be interesting to see if maybe he thinks, you know, tomorrow night is an opportunity to get Ville Heinola back into the game. You know, play a Toronto team that isn't overwhelmingly physical typically. Maybe they got a little more physicality now that Nick Foligno is going to eventually be in their lineup. Obviously not yet, as he's, you know, serving the quarantine after the trade deadline. But, you know, you wonder, you know, what, you know, he talked about Heinola. Cheveldayoff talked about Heinola. So, you know, where there's smoke, you would think there might be some fire. So the question is if and or when they decide to give Heinola an opportunity to get back in the lineup. You know, the problem from my perspective is I don't think there's any purpose in just bringing him back for one game. Mm-hmm. I would probably want to keep him in there for two games or three games or a stretch of time where you get to see sort of what you have, because a one-off, I don't know what it's going to prove to you. You know that this is a guy who's knocking on the door of being an NHL defenseman. And, you know, could be tomorrow or it could be next year at this point in time. But do you, if you give him that extended period of time, who comes out of the lineup? And that's where all your sort of questions, you know, sort of become, you know, unknowns. Because I think that ideally they'd rather keep Logan Stanley in the lineup over Tucker Poolman. But how does that work with your left right balance with Heinola playing on his left side? And I don't think you necessarily want to put somebody like Stanley or Forbert playing on their offside, like we know, you know, Jordy Ben says he can play both sides. You know, he's got comfort in that level. These are the questions that exist for the Winnipeg Jets, and I don't know the answers, and I don't expect that you know the answers yet, Dave. But these are what, you know, people are sort of focusing on at this point in the season because of where they are in the standings. And had they lost tonight to Ottawa, people would be justifiably so, or, you know, they'd be pressing a little bit more of the panic button. They're not. They get the clean 2 points, so things are feeling better about yourself. The Jets themselves certainly know that it wasn't the cleanest effort, it wasn't their best effort, but, you know, you're playing on the road, you're playing against a high skill team, you know, elements of a high skill team in Ottawa, and really you were able to shut them down after they opened the scoring, you know, what was it, a minute and a half into the game, when Nick Paul scored that goal after the collision between Pionk and Forbert. And
you're thinking, like Keystone Cops. It was like unbelievable. Yeah.
And you're thinking, you know, here we go again. The Jets are sort of picking up where they left off after Monday's game, not looking smooth and not looking comfortable. And I don't really know that they looked smooth or comfortable at any point in tonight's game, but it's a sign of a good team that you can still get a victory despite not being what I'll call crisp.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Drew. And I think, again, we've talked about it. The team rebounds, they don't always do it in the most pretty fashion. And, you know, so folks are asking the good question, you know, in the chat, who comes out if you put Ville Heinola in? And the conventional answer, and people aren't going to like this, would be from, if you're Paul Maurice and it's going to be on the left side, it's going to be Logan Stanley. You may not like it, but that's just the reality. And now people are going to, it's funny again. I feel like I'm in a bizarre world where people are riding at the idea of no Logan Stanley in the lineup. And I just think that you have to think about it from what the coach is going to do. When the coach isn't taking Josh Morrissey out of the lineup, and he's probably not taking Derek Forbert out of the lineup. Now, you know, to me, you could drop Derek Forbert down. I mean, Derek Forbert to me is ideally a third pairing defenseman. I think he's played admirably as a second pairing guy, but I think he's probably better suited in your lineup to be a third pairing guy. And I think that I mean, it would be an undersized pairing, but how smooth would Pionk and Pua and Heinola be if you put those two together? So, yeah. I don't see him going the route of switching him over. Pascal Vincent, when he had Heinola and Samberg playing together for the Manitoba Moose, it was Samberg who I should note is injured in case people are wondering what his status is, but didn't play in any of the games in the last series against the Belleville Senators. But it was Dylan Samberg who moved to the right side. Billy Heinola stayed on his strong side on the left. So, Ezzy brought up a point. I don't know if he played on the right hand side. In Finland, I don't believe so. I think he played on the left side as well. So I don't know that he has that experience, and I don't know that the NHL is the place where you want to give him that sort of immersion in that opportunity. So again, he's not taking out Derek Forbert. If people want Logan Stanley to stay in the lineup, I just don't. Again, you have to think about who the coach is, not what you think is the ideal lineup. It's what is the coach going to do? What has he shown has been his propensity in the past, and that would be to take out a player like Logan Stanley in favor of Ville Heinola if he's going to put him in. And again, he might not, but I just think like if you're taking someone out, I'm not saying Stanley deserves to come out, but sometimes guys don't deserve to come out of the lineup and they still do, right? Jansen Harkins came out of the lineup, didn't deserve to. It wasn't that his play dictated that he deserved to come out of the lineup, but when Nate Thompson was healthy, he came out. Now this wouldn't be a health factor, of course, but again, I'm just trying to be like, people can say you just have to be practical. You have to be pragmatic. You have to realize what is this coaching staff going to do? Okay. Well, So Rick, just reading one of the comments, Rick is saying that Heinola played on his offside in Finland. So, I mean, again, there you go. That's a reality again. So
it's a lot to ask of a really young player that, to step into the lineup and play on his offside at this point in the season. I just don't know what I'd be surprised if that was the decision that was made at this point in the year. Not to say that it isn't possible, or not to say that he can't come in and play his left side for a few games and maybe try it on the right side, but boy, it would be, it'd be something that, for a kid, cause he's really quite still a kid, at least, compared to me, everybody's a kid, who hasn't played really hockey in a game in what, close to a month, give or take, since he got 13th. Called up from the Moose.
13th was his last game.
Well, there you go. So it's over a month now.
Over a month, yeah.
So you're going to call him up and you're going to put him on his right side to play in his first, NHL game since, what was that, game two in Ottawa or game, way back at the beginning of the year? That would be a lot to ask. I just don't know that sets him up to succeed. And that's why I would be questioned if that was what was to happen, with regard to Ville Heinola. Obviously, time will tell on that front. And it's certainly possible we never see him. I mean, Paul Maurice's job is to win games. Kevin Cheveldayoff, might be encouraging him to get Heinola into the lineup, but ultimately it's the coach who's responsible for dressing the lineup and choosing the lineup that's going to play on a game-by-game basis. In any event, the Jets victors tonight by that 3-2 margin over the Ottawa Senators. We say good evening to everybody who's just joining us. Welcome. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. You're also listening to it if you're downloading this via the podcast later on. While you're here, so nice to see so many of you, first and foremost, ring the bell. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. Give us some likes. Nice to see you. Looks like we got close to 300 people in here. We want to see 300 likes. If you have a friend, if you have some family members, go call them up. Tell them that they need to jump on the chat and jump in the room and give us some likes as well. That's all we ask you people. Keep the chat friendly. Keep the chat clean. And give us some likes. That's your job. And our job is to provide you with this analysis that we provide you each and every night following Winnipeg Jets games.
Yeah, and the only thing I would say is oftentimes on YouTube, a lot of people will watch these shows, but they don't necessarily aren't all subscribers. So yes. As Drew just said, please hit that subscribe button And definitely hit that like button because that gets the message out and lets other people know that there's a popular post-game show after these Winnipeg Jets games that you can come join. And again, like I said, we love it because we love to see the interactivity with people here in the chat.
Oh, exactly.
Mark Mifley liked it, so it was nice.
Exactly. Be more like Shark Mifley, everybody, and try and be sure to like and subscribe and all that good jazz. So, David, what do you think what do you think Paul Maurice does with the forward group for tomorrow's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs? Does he go back to what he had for the first two periods of tonight's game, or does he start to run with that the new look or the line juggle that we saw there for the third period that featured Paul Stastny with Ehlers and Kopp and Scheifele up the middle with Connor and Dubois?
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to think he's maybe going to try that one out. And again, like I said, I think he's in, as he comes on only after 200 likes. I think that was probably, is Willie Q Ezzie's pseudonym? That's the question. So I would see him do that because they had some, I mean, obviously they had the success on the special teams. So it wasn't as if the line somehow turned things around, but they seemed to have a little more jump in the third period than they had in the first, you know, couple at least. So to me, I could see him rolling with that and allowing those guys to kind of get some, you know, a little, again, form a little chemistry because he said he doesn't need, this is the whole point, right? We talked about it earlier. This is the idea of experimentation and seeing what you've got. And again, you're missing Blake Wheeler. That's not a minor thing when you're missing one of your top six wingers. So I think that's a factor, of course. But I think from Paul Maurice's, and you got to think, like, you've gone, you know, you've played four games on the road right now, and you've won three of four without your captain. So that's a good thing, of course. You know, again, that's one of the things you have to factor in, right? That you're missing a player who plays a key role. The power play, I thought, both of them, both power play units, I didn't think looked particularly good today. I think that there was a lot of,
I got to say, it's got to be difficult on the power play to play against that Senators penalty kill because it's just chaos. I mean,
they're very aggressive.
Yeah, it almost resembles what they would look like at 5-on-5 action. I mean, they're just so hard on the puck carrier that he has to be so quick with his decision making that I understand why it's such a change for the Winnipeg Jets or for any team that plays the Senators, because you know normally you're used to playing you set up in the zone or you gain the zone and you gain possession and you set up and you're working it around and you're looking for the seam passes, and everyone knows what a traditional power play and penalty kill sort of look like. But that Senators penalty kill is just absolute chaos that it's so bizarre. You don't see a team, you see some aggressive teams, but you don't see teams that are almost aggressive to the point of recklessness that I think the Ottawa Senators power play usually is.
Yeah. I mean, and again, they were aggressive. They didn't allow the Jets the time to set up. And that to me was key, right? Because the Jets really, that's where they're kind of bread and butter, is when they have that time and space. And generally when you have the man advantage, you're afforded that opportunity. Ottawa didn't give them that chance. And, you know, credit to them. They obviously, you know, were prepared for what the Jets were going to do. And they knew that the Jets are just too dangerous to allow. So, you know, you could call it chaos, but I really do think it was disruptive in an intentional fashion to really not allow the Jets to have that opportunity, given what they've been capable of doing. Like, they have a top five power play in the league. Both units are getting it done. Now, like I said, tonight, I thought both units looked sloppy. I didn't think they were particularly crisp. So again, you know, you get rewarded eventually, but like, I just think it was one of those situations where first period, like I thought to myself, like, what is this right now? And then the first power play unit came out and I thought, okay, well, you know, you'll have, and they're giving up odd man rushes. And I think to myself, like, this looks like last game where, what did they have, a 3-on-1 to end the period? And they got lucky because they got bailed out because the time expired as the buzzer sounded on that first period. So, I mean, again, it wasn't a particularly crispy first for either of them. Nope. And, you know, again, part of that, but I think, again, part of that was the disruptive nature of the Senators' PK. They were just, they're aggressive. And again, like, they did what they needed to do to really get in the Jets' face and not allow them to set up. And like I said, that's just good coaching. You got to give credit where credit is due.
But to the Jets' credit, they did, of course, end up, you know, scoring the game-winning goal. I guess it didn't end up being the game-winning goal. It was the 2-1 goal, the Matthew Perreault goal on the power play, where, you know, eventually they were able to, you know, stick with it. And Matthew Perreault, you know, is just having this tremendous, season. You know, a guy that I honestly thought the Jets could have been a buyout candidate, you know, at, you know, towards the end of last year, you know, with his performance, that I thought maybe the Jets are better off buying him out with the 1 year left on his contract. But where would this Jets team be without Matthew Perreault right now? They would certainly be he's been huge for this team, and yeah, he gets the goal to make it 2-1. Then the Senators get a power play opportunity, and Trevor Lewis just, you know, outskates Thomas Chabot. You know, Chabot is sort of flat footed and Lewis has still got some speed. And he comes in and he's able to, you know, to pick up the loose puck and beat Matt Murray shorthanded. And that's the 3-1 goal. And that ends up being the game-winning goal for this Jets team. So really, you know, not a lot of what the Jets did tonight was pretty. But mm-hmm. it was you could sort of see the game. Everybody was fighting the puck a little bit. You know, early on, you know, you got the Keystone Cops moment that you called it. And, you know, the Senators capitalized. But the Jets stuck with it. And they knew that it was sort of going to be a bit of an ugly game, and that was going to be how they had to succeed. And they did when they didn't succeed in the same sort of opportunity on Monday night. And that's why it was an important victory for this Winnipeg Jets team to, you know, get some good vibes, not let two losses in a row to an Ottawa team that you expect to beat, things like that. Certainly a positive for the Jets overall tonight.
Yeah, and I just think that there's things that you have to tighten up, because you can't you just can't play defensively loose the way they did and not get burnt. And again, Ottawa's a younger, less experienced team, but you're not doing that against Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Zach Hyman, you know, Nick Foligno eventually. Like Toronto, or we can go through Edmonton. You know, you just can't afford to do it against those teams. You have to play A games. You can't afford to be, well, we were good for 45 minutes of the game. Well, that's good, but that's good enough to not win you playoff series. You just can't afford it. And that's what I think Paul Maurice has talked about, that idea of rolling, getting his group playing more consistent. And that's what everybody talks about. And it's, you know, it's funny. It's one of the most cliche things to say, oh, we just got to play a full 60. Well, and if they could do it every game, they would do it every game. So it's easy to say, well, why don't you do it every game? But clearly something, and again, part of that is the disruptive nature of the other team who's also trying to play a full 60, is not allowing you to play your game. But I just think, like, again, like I said, I think it's one of those situations where if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you just can't play that loose against a Toronto Maple Leafs team, or no, and look, they can't either. But I just think it comes down to execution. And I think you have to be tighter as a group. Not tight, holding your sticks tight. I just mean tighter as a group.
Yeah, in terms the attention of to detail.
Yeah,
the attention to detail. And I would expect the attention to detail is going to be better for the Jets tomorrow night, even on the second half of a back-to-back. I do truly believe, and I know I'm a broken record, I do truly believe these games are getting increasingly more difficult to play. Not necessarily because of who your opponent is, just because you're sick and tired of playing the same teams night after night after night. I mean, the Jets for the last four games, you know, how many times have they played Montreal in the last, you know, month? It seems like they played Montreal every second game. Yeah. They've seen Montreal so often. They see Ottawa so often. I do think that this is really going to be a tough, hard grind from here on out. That's why I expect, you know, after the next seven games against the Leafs and the Oilers, I would be surprised if any of the, you know, if the Jets are, you know, more than a game above 500 or more than a game below 500. I just think that these games are going to be such a grind for everybody to play that, you know, the Oilers know where they are in the standings. And, you know, sure, you know, I guess it maybe matters to the Oilers to finish second over third, you know, in the North Division, you know, but I don't think it's going to be a huge difference. And I see people in the chat saying, you know, all the more reason to insert some youth into the lineup. And I agree. I just put up Troy's comment on the screen there. And I agree, Troy, this would be an opportunity where, let's say if Wheeler was healthy and the Jets had been at their same previous 12 forwards that we've seen night in, night out, I would use this as an opportunity to get a guy like Harkins into the lineup. Or, you know, like we talked about earlier, Heinola. This is an opportunity to get Heinola into the lineup just because almost the energy and the excitement that these guys would bring to your lineup would sort of make the grind a little bit easier. It would make the doldrums a little bit easier to get through. And so that's why I think that it's more than these aren't just hockey games in terms of the on-ice performance. They're does need to be a little bit of motivation and psychology going on in the dressing room to really get these guys up on a night in, night out basis, you know, from here on out till the end of the regular season.
Well, I mean, and Drew, the other thing you have to factor in is, to your point, is that Heinola hasn't played a hockey game in a month.
Yeah.
So what value is he going to have? You know, there's another, what, 3.5 weeks for the season? Maybe almost a month, I guess, with the rescheduled games against the Canucks.
They play,
I
think, that, you know what,
the 11th is the last game of May. So realistically, you've got almost a month of the season. Well, are you going to, you know, you have an injury and suddenly Ville Heinola, who hasn't played for the Moose and hasn't played for the Jets, you're going to suddenly throw him into the lineup? Like, that's kind of the point. And we've talked about it, and Paul Maurice has been asked. And again, we're not head coaches in the NHL. We thought it would make a lot of sense to give some guys some time, you know, that ability to rest. Now, I will give them credit. They haven't been on the ice very much when they haven't needed to be. They gave them an optional today. Instead of having a morning skate, it was an optional. They weren't on the ice yesterday. My point is that he is giving this team rest and recovery time. So that idea of the way we looked at the taxi squad as an opportunity to inject some energy into the lineup, it may not be as necessary because he's giving these guys that time to rest and recover. So again, and I think he deserves credit for that, because I think he's, again, this is a totally unique situation. It's not one we've ever seen before, ever, obviously, in the NHL. Well, at least in the last 100 years. But the point is that I think the truth is that they've done a good job in terms of managing the energy and the players' ability to heal and rest and recover in between games. So they haven't needed that as much. But again, it doesn't really matter, because I still think, and I've been one of the biggest proponents of it, I hate the wasting guys as insurance, right? Like Ville Heinola, if he's not playing, just missed out on playing 4 games for the Manitoba Moose. And I get it. Like, the Manitoba Moose, I hate to say this because I cover them more than almost anybody else in the world, but are irrelevant because it's really, they're there to be a feeder team to the Jets. So it's not really what's good for the Moose. But again, like, to me, it's what's good for Ville Heinola. And Jensen Harkins talked about it. I know we're going to go to Paul Maurice right away, but Jensen Harkins talked about it, how the taxi squad has been good for keeping him sharp. But again, like I said, you got guys like Vesalainen. What's Vesalainen played in total this season? 14 games between the Moose and the Jets?
Yeah, so not much more if it's even that high.
Right. So I guess what I'm getting at is there's the want of people to get young players into the lineup, and I get it. And I just think, like, now, based on his comments, although it was interesting because even his comments today when he was asked about it, he talked about platooning guys. These were the comments earlier on illegalcurve.com if you didn't hear them.
There you go. So, you can go find anyways, it.
We'll talk about more of that when you're done with the Paul Maurice audio.
Okay, let's bring in the Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice. You're listening, of course, and watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Good evening, Paul. Your group has made bouncing back a big part of its identity, or calling card, if you will. What stood out about this effort?
Oh, it wasn't easy. They got their game now to a kind of a loose and fast and fairly high-risk game, and that can be a dangerous biscuit, like the first goal they scored, right? They'll spit it into a hole and hope they get a break going away. So that's not an easy one to handle, but a good one.
We'll go next to Jamie Thomas from 680 CJOB Jets Radio. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hey, Paul, did Perreault's power play goal kickstart your solid period?
Yeah. Tight there, right? Like, it was through the shots. I think we had about 10 even string shots in the first. I think they had 5. And then that evened out by the end of 2. So, you know, it's going to be like that. It's going to be a break. There wasn't a whole lot of offense. Nothing clean going, really, for either team. So, power play goal, Matties. Your power play is going to look, you know, they're really, really aggressive on their penalty kill. So, your power play is going to look very poor until you score, right? It's just going to be they're going to run and have be really, really aggressive, and then you'll get a break. You'll get Maddie, will come off the wall and have a lane and beat the goalie. So, big goal for us there. And then the shorthanded goal as well. Your penalty was really strong tonight, has been for a while. So, those were the difference makers. LB's play, special teams.
Go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Coach Sean.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. What were you looking for when you switched up the lines, and what did you see after you did so?
Yeah, just a different presence. I thought, you know, Mark's line of the plays were dying kind of off the rush, and that's an awful lot to ask Andrew Kopp and to play the right side. He hasn't played it. Pierre Luc prefers, if he's going to go to the wing, to be on the right. I thought he got to the net front better. I saw him doing that in the second period and thought that's what that line needed. And I know that Kopstast and the Nikki Ehlers had some things going for them earlier in the year, so it just put him back. And I thought we were better after that.
Next to Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Paul, you know, when somebody looks at the stats, they'll see 26, 27 saves by your goaltender. And I mean, that doesn't blow anybody's socks off. And certainly he's not going to, the first one is a so shot, you know, quick shot that he doesn't have a chance on. But after that, for a guy that hasn't played in 3 weeks, your assessment of what looked like a pretty solid game.
Yeah, second period, especially really square and right to pucks that came to the net. A lot of what they'll do is throw pucks from tough angles and try to get a stick on it. So it's kind of funny. It's either not dangerous at all because it's such a bad angle shot, or it's very dangerous, right? It's a off a stick, off a shin pad. So he was good. You know, he really important for him because he had a tough one in his last game, but we wanted to give him and Wade Flaherty some time to work together on the ice. He worked hard since he's been off because he wanted to get right back. Even the game prior to that, he didn't feel really sharp. So he had a couple of nights where he wasn't really loving his game. And hard for these guys to, in a non-practice environment for your backup guy to stay sharp, it's tough. So Wade and he were on the ice just about every day, and they were working on their game. So he worked hard to get back into the form he was tonight.
Go next to Mitchell Clinton from Jets TV. Go ahead, Mitch.
Hi, Paul. Just a thought on Nikolaj Ehlers hitting 300 points. He's the fourth Danish NHLer to do it. Just the growth in his game, obviously, you've talked about it a lot, but just for him to kind of hit that kind of milestone, yeah, of what it might mean to him.
Well, he should be very proud of the number alone. And then when you look at the improvement in his game in 1 year, he's a different player now. And not that it was a poor player before. He's always been dynamic, but he had some, you know, he's banging in tonight. He's winning battles. He just creates so much open ice, makes a lot of smart plays. And he's such a positive personality, right? I mean, he's a big part of that power play unit going, just really excited when they go out. They've got a great chemistry growing. So happy for him, but he should be acknowledged for the improvement in his game. He's really come a long way.
And final question to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Well, just a tactical question on your last power play. You just went with your regular lines and 2D. Is that a byproduct of how aggressive Ottawa is, or what went into that?
Time on the clock. Going like Ken, we're at about 2.5. I had expected 3 guys coming up the ice. I thought they were going to come right after it. I didn't think our one unit had enough going to put them out there. I thought, you know, might lead with the second unit. Then I don't like what it leaves me coming out of. I know the goalie's coming after. So there are a bunch of things like that. I mean, in a 2-goal game like that, I thought that we needed 2 defensemen on the ice.
Thanks very much, Coach. Okay.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club. Bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manook with you. So nice to see so many of you on this Wednesday evening. Reminder, we'll be right back at it tomorrow night after the Jets and the Leafs, the top two teams in the North Division, do battle. It should hopefully be an entertaining contest. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts right at when the final buzzer goes, probably around 8:30, 8:35, give or take a couple minutes around there. We'll see you guys then that tomorrow night. So remember, reminder, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Get alerted each and every time we go live with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show or the Illegal Curve post-game show. That was Jets head coach Paul Maurice. Not a lot of interesting things coming from his post-game comments tonight, but no real surprise. It wasn't a very interesting game. Wasn't a very interesting post-game commentary from the coach either, but you know, when the team wins and there's not much excitement about it, that's sort of to be expected, I would say, Dave Manook.
Yeah, no. I mean, what are they going to ask about? That game was... It was a fairly nothing game. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to ask about lineup changes. You're not going to ask about it now because he's not going to say anything anyway. So the reality is, I believe he said, I mean, they're not going to be on the ice tomorrow, so we won't really get any sort of indication. Guys might be on the ice. But the problem with COVID is the fact that you don't see this sort of thing anymore now. You don't really get a report. Toronto's a little different because there's Toronto media usually you're paying attention to. I agree, Jeff. Everybody smash that like button while you're in the room. But I think like you may get a little more of an indication. Guys like Mark Masters of TSN usually pay attention to what's going on with the Jets lineup. So we may get an idea as to what's happening if some people are on the ice that shouldn't be, that sort of thing. But realistically, we'll probably have to wait till warm up at about 5:30 Winnipeg time to get any sort of indication, other than obviously Connor Hellebuck will be back in net for the Winnipeg Jets. But in terms of the lineups, is whether you see a Ville Heinola come in or someone else, you never know. We never know what's going to happen in terms of guys being banged up.
Exactly. Somebody could be banged up after tonight's game. There were so many, there were a couple different instances where Jets players ran into each other. We talked about the Pionk Forbort one early in the game. Appleton and Perreault also did a bit of a dipsy do. And, you know, who knows, you know, Scheifele on that hard net drive, he also went for a pretty good spill there as well. So you never know what the health status is going to be regarding the Winnipeg Jets, and we'll wait until tomorrow close to game time. Maurice will meet with the assembled media, but there won't be any assembled Winnipeg media there.
We'll be assembled by Zoom.
Exactly. You can assemble them by Zoom or whatever else, and you can, of course, keep it locked to illegalcurve.com and our Twitter feed at illegalcurve for all of the latest Winnipeg Jets news as we find out things tomorrow on the second half of a back-to-back, and then they fly back to Winnipeg, of course, right after the game tomorrow. They'll have, I believe, an off day on Friday ahead of the late start on Saturday night, the last 9 o'clock start until the playoffs, because if it's the Jets and the Oilers in the first round of the playoffs, and certainly all evidence is pointing to that, those are going to be some late starts. You know that those games are likely not going to be until, you know, close to 9 o'clock, you know, depending on how it all plays out and how TV works, but likely to be some late starts for the Jets and the Oilers in a playoff series. But we're ahead. We're not at that point yet. We still got 13 more games before that. Question from Ty, as you can see it on the screen, and if more people have questions, throw them into the chat, and we'll get them as as we can over the course of the next few minutes before we wrap up the post game show. Do you expect more jump from the Jets tomorrow night? I would, just because you're glad to be done with Ottawa. You're glad to be done with the stretch of games against teams that have been below you in the standings, albeit Montreal was a playoff team and still is in a playoff spot. But I do think that you'll see more jump from the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow, and they're going to be playing against a Toronto Maple Leafs team that, not well rested because they played last night, but more well rested than the Jets, let's say. Although I think it will be 3 and 4 nights for both teams, because I think Toronto played Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and the Jets, of course, played Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, and you, again, like I said, I think both teams will get up for this game. I think you kind of have to, right? Because you're having a 1-2 battle and you don't want to have a poor showing. And I think it's kind of funny, right? The Jets went into Toronto and were able to do something that few were expecting when they took, 5 out of 6. And you know, then Toronto comes into Winnipeg and takes 4 of 4. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, both teams have been able to kind of do something in the other team's building that left them not with the best feeling, of course. And so I think both teams are very aware. I think it's kind of like one of those situations. It's kind of like when that Jets had that Calgary series coming up and they had to take on the Flames. And even though they had that game against the Oilers in between, there was still kind of that focus on Calgary and that series with Calgary. And that's, I think, the same with Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg knows that there's a big series coming up. Like I said, 4 of your next 5 games are against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And to me, again, it's not a barometer because, again, you're missing Blake Wheeler. They're missing Nick Foligno. There's going to be some players missing. But it's going to be a pretty good measuring to see, again, one game, you can say that's not a big deal. But after 4, if you haven't gone at least 2 out of 4, you don't want to go in limping 1-4 kind of thing.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's as TJ Metal said in the chat, you know, and it's up on the screen, the next 7 games should tell us what this team is about. You know, the next 7 are all against the Leafs and the Oilers, and frankly, you know, I'd be surprised if the Jets went 1-6. I'd be shocked if the Jets went 6-1. I expect that. You know, I don't think there's a huge difference between the Jets, the Leafs, the Oilers. I'll even put the Habs on a bit of a lower level as of late, but they could certainly, bring it right back up to where they were before. But, I think that, you know, if the Jets and the Leafs and the Oilers all played each other, you know, in 7-game series, more often than not, they're going at least 6 games, maybe even 7 in all those series, just because, you know, where the Jets have a strength, maybe the Oilers have a weakness. And where the Oilers have a strength, maybe the Jets have a weakness. And it goes the same with Toronto. So that, you know, I do think these teams are pretty evenly matched, despite the fact that Toronto has been, I said this on Monday's show after the trade deadline. Before the trade deadline, Toronto was the best team in the North. After the trade deadline, Toronto's still the best team in the North, but I don't think they're so far head and shoulders above everyone else that they can't be beaten in a playoff series, or they can't be beaten when they play them, you know, 4 times in the next 7 games, whatever the number actually is.
Yeah, sorry, and just to explain my holding up 4 fingers in case you're wondering, Dom Zappia was asking about the number of recalls the Jets are allowed, and the answer is 4. Between now that you don't have a roster maximum, but you're allowed to have in terms of cap, I should say, but you basically are allowed 4 recalls.
But is that recalls from the Moose though? Because the taxi
squad. Yeah, I'm talking about, because remember you have to treat that as if it's like, remember, if you're getting recalled from the, you have to be reassigned. So
basically the taxi squad is almost null and void at this point in the season, because you're not going to send somebody back down to the taxi squad once you call them back up. Because there's no roster, again, once the trade deadline comes and goes, there's no roster maximums anymore. So you're not limited to having, you know, that the 20-man roster, the 21-man roster that you have during, you know, the normal parts of the year. You can have as unlimited a roster as you want, so long as it's basically salary cap compliant.
Yeah, you have to be cap compliant, of course. Yeah.
You still have to be cap compliant, and that shouldn't be an issue for the Winnipeg Jets, given the players that they have on the taxi squad are all not making a significant amount of money, and the Jets having moved having moved Nate Beaulieu to LTIR, also gain his cap space as well. So for the most part, the Jets will be able to, basically use whomever they want. It's unlikely that there's anybody right now with the Moose, but once the playoffs come, then you have your black aces, because then the salary cap isn't even a factor. Playoff time, you'll see a guy like David Gustafson, you'll see a guy like Dylan Samberg probably be part of the Jets' black aces, come playoff time. But again, still got 13 games before that, so we're probably getting cart a little bit before the horse when it comes to that. But it'll be another good night tomorrow night, another big contest for the Jets against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hopefully it'll be there'll be more life into the game, just because I can't watch the Senators anymore. And I know that they play an entertaining style, oftentimes, but I want to see some games that have a little bit more juice with them. And that's, we haven't seen that in a while this past week or so, Dave.
Well, again, like I said, I think it's one of those situations where, sorry, I'm just reading the question. They've got Vesalainen and Ville Heinola are already with the taxi squad. Sandberg and Gustafson are both with the Moose and both are injured. So the Moose have a 10-day break between games. They played their last game on the 12th. They won the last three games against the Belleville Senators, Ottawa's farm team. And now they've got 10 days before they play their final series, which is five games at home against the Stockton Heat. So the next Moose game will be on the 22nd of April. And so we'll probably see Gustafson and Sandberg back, I would imagine, from what I understand, what I've been told, that they should be back. Again, I'll get an update probably in the next few days. Moose have had the last 2 days off. They haven't been skating. So obviously, because they're going to be getting their fill of practice over the next week. So we'll get an update from them probably from Pascal Vincent in the next couple of days.
So they have five at home in a row against the Stockton Heat. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so they've got their last five against the Stockton Heat. And that's their last homestand. Yeah. And then they go on the road and they play. I think they play in Toronto's the first series, the starting May 6th, 8th, and 9th, I think, is they play against the Marlies. And then I don't remember if it's against, I don't remember the last series. I can only keep one series in my mind at a time. But it's crazy to think the Moose. Yeah, and this is a stretch of 17 straight home games at the Iceplex. So it's definitely been unusual. Not all of the games have been at the Iceplex, I should say, but or maybe they have actually in this stretch. Yeah, honestly, this season has been, it's been such an unusual year. And so I will say, though, and I mean, it sucks that people can't enjoy it, but having to tell people that getting a view of watching these games at the Iceplex, and I moved downstairs, I was sitting upstairs before, but I didn't have a place for my computer. So I've set up the computer and I've got everything right by the window where sometimes we stand during training camp and you can watch the rink. And I got to tell you, like, what a treat it is to watch hockey that close, 6 feet away from me watching pro hockey and able to like have my computer, have everything in front. And so you get a really good idea to watch these young prospects and see them develop, and again, Cole Perfetti has been, just to give people some insight, Cole Perfetti has been unbelievable. His development is, I asked him after the last Moose game on Monday, and I was funny because I was saying to one of the Moose guys, I said, the problem for the Moose is, all these games are falling on Jets day, same days as the Jets. So people aren't necessarily paying attention to what's happening with this Moose team and what they were able to do last week, just because, there's been so much focus on the Winnipeg Jets. But Cole Perfetti has been really good. He had three straight multi-point games, first time in his career, first three-point game, his last one, first multi-goal game. But I asked him, I said, do you feel like it's slowing down for you a little bit? And let me just pump the brakes on anybody saying, should Cole Perfetti be a recall to the Winnipeg Jets? Because, I mean, look, maybe they give him one game this year. I don't know. But, I mean, Cole Perfetti doesn't need to be playing in the NHL right now. He's perfectly suited to where he is right now, in my mind. I'm generally risk-averse with prospects, though, so take that with a grain of salt. But again, like I asked him, I said, do you feel that the game is slowing down for you a little bit? And he said, this isn't a 19-year-old league, but I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to, it is starting to slow down for him. And you can see it. A lot of his points were coming on the power play. Now he's getting some more regular 5-on-5 goals and assists, which is important, of course, because you don't want to just be a specialist on the special teams. But again, the young players are developing and they're getting their opportunities. Other one I want to point out, Johnny Kovacevic, 2017 third round pick, played 38 minutes two games ago, played 30 probably plus minutes. That's a good one. Last game, So, and he's looked really good. He's a right shot defenseman. So he's one of these guys who, you know, again, people hear the Heinola, they hear Sandberg, they hear, there's other Declan Chisholm's, another one I should mention, Leon Gavanke. There's a lot of good young defensive prospects that are in the Jets system right now. And you're going to be hearing them more and more over the next few years.
Let's leave it there. Dave gave his comprehensive Moose update, and I see on my second screen that our buddies Kenny and Rennie have started the post-game show. So that's usually a good sign for us to call it a night. We appreciate everybody joining us in the chat who joined us for the post-game show. While you're here, if you haven't yet, hit the thumbs up, hit the ring the bell, subscribe, get alerted each and every time we go live with the Illegal Curve post-game show or the Illegal Curve hockey show. Want to give a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and of course, Boston Pizza. Support them because they support Illegal Curve hockey. We'll be back tomorrow night after the Jets and the Leafs, right around 8:30, 8:35, give or take, when the final buzzer goes. Be sure to join us back here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. For my buddy Dave Minuk, if you find Ezra Ginsberg in a snowbank somewhere, send him home, please, folks. We'd like them. He's supposed to join us again.
It's happened before.
It has happened. Dave, in fact, found him, if I'm not mistaken. We can tell that story maybe on Saturday. Anyways, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching. Until tomorrow night, right around 8:30 or so, we wish you good night and good luck.